2:30. I hope I'll be shut down by that time. All right. Good to see you. Thank you for staying over, eating with us. It's been great. I'll tell you what, it just seemed like to me we just got started. I mean, but I'm thankful. Thank you so much, dear church, and you precious people. Good food, good fellowship. It's just been a wonderful, wonderful time. I praise God for that. Turn with me, if you would, this evening to the book of Philippians. Philippians, my favorite book in the Bible. I reckon everybody's got their favorite book. Someone has called this, or many people probably have called this, the joy book of the Bible. That theme word that you find over and over and over again is the word joy. Now, the Lord's just, it's amazing how God works. I'm getting ready to look at something that I hadn't even thought about, but we'll start there. You're in the book of Philippians with me this evening. Go to verse 6 of chapter 1. Chapter 1 and verse 6. Now, a lot of people believe this is the only salvation verse. I believed that at one time when I knew any better. But this church got in on the very beginning of their Christian experience. And they began to get involved with their missionary who had come there to start that church. He didn't want to go there. I sound like a missionary. He didn't want to go to Philippi. He had his mind to go back to the churches that he'd already started. But if you come to Acts chapter 16, there the historical background of this wonderful letter and church, the Holy Ghost, three different times, I had to speak to him to get his attention. And finally, he saw that the Lord was not wanting him to go back to Asia Minor, but he would rather want him to go to Macedonia. And God sent a vision at night. I'm not much a believer in visions, dreams, unless souls are tied to it. I mean, this vision of pie in the sky by and by, hey, I can't grab that. But if a person's lost and dying and hopeless and going to hell, young man, did you lock that door? I'm glad you're doing that. I'm telling churches all over the country to do that. I'm thinking about trading my Glock in for a 38. My brother-in-law was telling me you can get a little revolver about like that. I had one time that a crippled millionaire boy that offered us 3 acres of land one time in the heart of Poplarville, Mississippi, up above where Brother Jack and them lived down there. And I could get liberty to take that 3 acres of land, start a church. Been right downtown Poplarville. Poplarville is about half the size of Amory here, I suppose. Sweet little town down there. And if anybody knows, it would have been about 8 or 10 miles above Ricky Moore, where his church is at there and all. But I gave that boy, he gave me the pistol. Then we had a crippled boy in our family, and he couldn't see good. And he had to wait about 12, 15 years to get his first kid. And I thought he needed to be able to protect his wife and daughter. So I gave him that pistol. I'm stuck with that Glock. And I'm stuck with the promise that I would sell it back to that guy when I could make $150, $200 on it right now, Brother Ernest. I got to give it back to him to honor my word. Is payday coming for those that are what? You remember the word y'all just read? Well, it was a four-letter word, wasn't it? T-R-U-E. Is it not right? I thought it was hearing right. That's what it said, didn't it? So you make a contract with somebody. Oh, that's great. A little red-headed preacher boy up at Brother Arville Duncan's church with their grandson. I was picking at these girls about marrying boy. That boy's going to have a good wife, too. So go up there to that camp meeting. You might find him up there, okay? Good. I don't know. But anyway, that boy, he bought a rifle off of me not too long ago, 30-06. And he sent me $400 the other day that I'm going to put on that little mission house that we're building. That was such a blessing for that young man, probably around 20, 21, 22 years old, something like that, to come through and live up to his word on it. Hey, did you see Philippians chapter 1, verse 6? Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, that's relating, I believe, to the mission work and the mission heart that God had given these people. There starts always when a church, there starts with some person, and sometimes it can be plural, persons that are crucial members of that church. And I just say it was with Paul. Paul was the crucial man. He didn't care about Philippi. He didn't want to go there, but the Holy Ghost wouldn't leave him alone. And so he winds up in Acts chapter 16, the beginning of Paul's second missionary journey, Brother Ronnie. He finds himself going. He goes to Troas, and then he goes on over to Philippi. And God's already got a lady there by the name of Lydia. She's a seller of purple. And she's down by the riverside with a lot of the ladies that have the same trade that she does. And what's so exciting about that, Paul goes out there on the Sabbath day, going to preach Jesus. He and Silas is with him. They're going to go out there and preach Jesus. And when they get there, the key important thing, God had gotten there before, because the Bible says, whose heart the Lord had opened. Amen. I'm grateful. He uses somebody to sow seed there, always in your heart, in your life. Now, Paul began to preach Jesus from that very moment on. He is the crucial man that's there. If you go back in your life, there'll be a crucial man or a crucial woman that God used. Maybe several of them. Paul writes to the Corinthian church in chapter 3 of the book of 1 Corinthians. He said, I planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. What's so interesting there? You see this worshiping woman, and then just about time, God's about ready to do a work in a country there, a new country for Paul there in Philippi, that city. The devil doesn't like it. And so there comes a wicked woman. The Bible says she was hired as a soothsayer. That's a fortune teller. By the people there, and she begins to mock and make fun, doing everything to distract the people from hearing the gospel that Paul preaches. God cast the devil out. You think what you want to think. I don't find much history on her after that, but I believe that God would have never left her alone, just like he didn't leave Lydia. I believe she became a part. Even though I don't see where she was baptized, like the next person there in that chain, Brother Ronnie, but I really believe that when she got delivered, she wanted to hear more. Amen? You didn't have anything for church. I didn't have anything for church. If you was a goody-goody two-shoes people person and you could not sin because you afraid your mom and dad would beat the fire out of you, hey, and you just walked the chalk and you did all of that and everything, when you got to, if you didn't get saved in time, you got out in this world. How many people have we known like that? Kids that grew up in church, but they miss God. They miss salvation by grace through faith. The Holy Ghost never got permanent residence in their heart to make them to know that their body was not their own, that they were bought with a price. And they never learned these basic biblical truths. I'm glad that I didn't. Hey, it didn't take me, Brother Ernie, forever to learn the Lordship of Christ. It did not learn. It didn't take me. Brother Ronnie, I saw right off the change that he made in my heart and life. I saw those old things begin to pass away and all things become new. I mean, I had a different desire, different hunger, different thirst when God called me to preach. I said, I'm going to have a good godly wife. I looked at my pastor's wife first thing and saw that she was that. And what Sister Woodson was able to study her for a year before I went off to college, I said, hey, that's the kind of gal I'm looking for. And God knew I wasn't ready. And God knew I had some experiences in life. I always say salvation first, Vietnam second, to get me to slow down, to learn that you can't have every pickup truck, you can't ever have every car, you can't ever have every house, you can't have everything that you want down here and tell God about it later on. Oh, no. You can't do that and serve him. You young people ain't married yet, or some of you just getting married. You better watch that plastic. You say, preacher, what do you mean that plastic? I'm talking about them credit cards. They get you in trouble. I took a vacation on one time. We spent $2,000 or $3,000 and paid them about $20,000 or $30,000 back. I thought you could get by, Brother Ronnie, just paying the interest. And they said, I'm thinking, I said, $25 a month. Man alive, flip it over, buddy. They was adding 25. I give them 25, they'd make it 50 the next month. Be careful. Be careful, women. If you start spending like that, you'll never get involved in missions and you'll be one of the most miserable Christians that's ever walked on God's face of earth. Hey, when you have to, you got to look at your creditor in Walmart. You can go and find another aisle. Hey, I love it. Right there has been my breaks. That's been my breaks. I appreciate that. You said, preacher, why are you running these rabbits? Somebody needs to run rabbit chasing with me. That's all I know. I'm trying to help somebody. I done got all the help I need, but I need to give you some help. But if I give some, that leaves me empty, don't it, brother? So I have to get some more myself. Huh? So this thing's reciprocal. I mean, it's just always turning and running. Paul, he's the crucial one here. Now, go with me to chapter 2. I like this. Philippians, I'm just giving you a little bit of an overview. I titled this message, Men and Women Who Make a Great Missionary Church. Men and Women Who Make a Great Missionary Church. Paul's the crucial man in this, chapter 2, at verse 17. Yea, Paul says, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith. Brother Ronnie, missionary needs to be sacrificial. And then he needs to realize the reason why he's sacrificed is because he's wanting, number one, to serve Jesus. And he's wanting to serve the Lord's people. And that's what Paul is saying to these dear folks there at Philippi. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. So Paul's the crucial man. Now, we can't build a church on one man. One missionary just can't do it by himself, Brother Ronnie. It's impossible. There's got to be a length in the chain, and every length in the chain needs to be there. There's not only the crucial man here, but there is the caring man. You say, well, preacher, where do you find him? Look at chapter 2, 19 through 23. Chapter 2, 19 through 23. Paul said, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. This crucial man has this dear church that he had started, that he planted there in Acts chapter 16. Someone had said that probably 8 or 10 years from the time that church was started, before this letter was written to those precious people there at Philippi by Paul. And by the way, Paul's in prison. It wasn't like our prisons today. In prisons today, somebody told me over in the Philippines a few years ago, a missionary that was 8 pastors in Ocean Springs now, he said, Brother Ernest, that they moved their families into the prisons over there. I never heard of nothing like that in my life. A man goes to prison, his wife and his children go there too. Now, I think they work in there. They do something to keep a room and board. That excited me. When I heard something like that, I said, it wouldn't be bad at all. But if you had to go there, what is a prison? We put air conditioning. They tell me they got cell phone. They tell me they got everything in prison today. Poor boys. Oh, man, God bless you. Give them a cry. Hey, I'm telling you, that's still sad. Now, Paul's in prison, but he's writing this letter. And he knows that if he could be there, he would be there with them. But he can't, so he's got a buddy. And that buddy's really his son in the ministry. He led that young man to Christ along with his grandma and his mama there. And you read all that back in Acts chapter 16. And now he's saying this, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. Verse 17, 18, for the same cause also do you joy and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that also may be of good comfort when I know your state. Now watch this. How serious, what kind of young man was he going to send to those people in that church that he'd started? Look at it. Some of his qualifications to be sent. And he was, by the way, on Paul's missionary team. He was just as much a missionary as the Apostle Paul was. Look at him in verse 20. He said, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Got to have a love for people. Got to have a care for people. Got to have a concern for people. Got to have a compassion for people. You got to be willing to comfort people. I find all of that in these verses. Verse 21, Paul looks around. Where's he going to find another young man? And he has to come to the conclusion here in verse 21, Brother Ernest. It says, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Couldn't find a whole lot of helpers. Couldn't find a lot of people that had the compassion, the concern, the care that Timothy had. Looked around, he was wanting more. He was desiring more. Hey, what are you concerned about? What do you care about? Hey, if God were to call you to give up your job and put you somewhere in the States or put there, or either if God says you're going to have to be, as many of us, you're your pastor and others have been bivocational, would you make that sacrifice? Could you do that? I was thinking, I was telling somebody, it was, still tickled me when I think about it. My 54-year-old gal, she's 54 years old, our oldest daughter, right? I remember when we started that little church in Escatawpa 50 years ago. I had one of the greatest door openers in all the world when she was about a year old, right there on my arm. And I go up there and I wanted them people, boy, to look out them windows and blew that blind up on you, what have you. And I was wondering, Brother Ronnie, if they was thinking I wanted some milk for that baby. I don't know if I've ever told her all what I thought back when she was just a little one and I was scared of trying to start that church in that subdivision. And the people come to the door and they see that poor little Stephanie there. They would think nothing about me. But I said, you know, me and this baby, we've come down here with their mother. And we want to just tell you, we meet in a Jim Walter Shell home around here, around the corner. And we have a church. And we would love for you to come there. You say, how'd you get in Jim Walter Shell home? Prayed about it. There's a man today that we sent for 6 months, sent $50 a month to up in Weirton, West Virginia. I don't even know where that's at. Have you ever been there, Brother Ernest? Weirton. They tell me that's a pretty good sized place up there amongst the place where you can't find turnip greens and nothing else up there on the side of them mountains. But anyway, I called that man up. I said, hey, I understand you rented out this little building to a bunch of Free Will Baptists, friends of mine, my boss man at Shipyard. And I understand it's open now. There's nobody in it. Sir, would you give us the same deal that you gave them Free Will people? I said, $50 a month. He said, that's what it was. He said, if you go in and leave it like it in the shape that you found it, as long as y'all need to be there, we'll. So started out with $50 a month and a little paper right there in my arm. And people would come to that door and they feel sorry for me. Hey, you say, oh, it'd be better work. Well, Paul thought it would. Paul said, I become all things to all men, that I might win some. Huh? Sometimes we just got to use different methods. You say, well, that's old folk. And I don't mean all this contemporary garbage, because that's deceiving people. And that's putting our young people in hell, and that's backing our old people that used to sing them hymns like y'all sing here. It's putting them in another gear. They just about ready to quit because they don't know how to jig and bum and jump and dump and all that other stuff that the young generation coming on knows how to do it. Come on now. I know what I got saved from. I know what I got saved from. And it wasn't religion. It was the world. And I'm like old Vance Havner said there at William Carey back in 1971 when I graduated there. He said, we're pumping it in. It's coming in every way, the ways of the world. If it was like that, hey, 54 years ago, what is it like now? Put on the best dance you want to put. Get all the boom, bam, jam music you want to in any place in Amory, Mississippi. And go to some of these churches around here. The only difference is going to be the day. The day is held on. Because I don't believe that, preacher. I can show you some places. I ain't wanting to go to them. And I ain't going to them. But I can show you going in there if you want to. My dear pastor, Roger Baker, who preached the missions conference, he comes down to Williams Boulevard Baptist Church, Buford Easley, that was from right over here at Shannon or somewhere around here, came to, on a basketball scholarship to 1963, the year before I did, came there. and to New Orleans. And somehow or another, Buford, after he got sick and what had him, he started letting some of that mess slip in here. Roger Baker pastored 700-800 people, bigger than the church there in Kenner there, Williams Boulevard. Brother Baker comes down, he steps in there in a foyer like back here, but much bigger than this one. And he hears that boom, bam, jam, jump up and hump up and dump up and all of that other mess going on out there. He asks one of the ushers, he said, "What's that is going on in the auditorium?" He said, "That's our music." Brother Baker said, "Thank you, sir. I appreciate it." Drove all the way across to New Orleans, the First Baptist, where all them star tubes was at. And got over there. Almighty God. Oh. Almost like Catholics. But it wasn't boom up a doop ba da ba da ba bop boop. No, it wasn't that. But that's what you got going on in the Baptist churches today. Not that, oh me, oh my, why am I here? I can laugh at religion, but I believe God pukes on it. I do. I really do. I'm still old school, brother. I'm old school, almost old shoe. You got some nice shoes on, brother. Ah, Lord, help us, Brother Riley. Hey, it's good. It's good to laugh. Some of you folks just need to go into laughing business. You put some of these other stores out of business down here. If you start laughing, smile a little bit, you go in there and help somebody that's hurting. If you just... Amen. All right. Hey, here's the caring man. He really is. Paul said, "For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state." He did. Got two more and I'm through. All right. Here he is, the crucial man. Here he is, the caring man. Boy, what a heart little Timothy had. They say he was probably about 30 years old when Paul picked him up on the road and said, "Boy, you're going to go with me." Later on, he pops him over in Ephesus because he learned so much about Jesus and all. He puts him there. He puts Titus over in the island of Crete. He knows who and where and what he's doing. He does. Do you know what he's doing in your life today? Man, that little lady over there playing that piano redheaded. They said she's a school teacher. I love that. I've got a school teacher in my church, huh? And I told her the other day. I've told her many times. And almost her daddy was the founding pastor of our church. And I've told her many times, "You know what, Sister Mimi?" Her name is something else, but we call her Mimi. What's her real name? Mary. We call her Mimi. I don't know how we got that up, but anyway, they did before I got there, so I ain't going to change it. But anyway, I said, "You know what? I think the greatest thing in the world is that God could save somebody, send them off to a private school or send them off to a public school, go to William Carey where they play in church down there, or either go to Mississippi Southern where they don't got tired of playing, they just going to be themselves, and whatever, but go there and learn, but stay in love with Jesus." Then God calls. I brag on North Mississippi. I know back over in Harrigan, man, they got them programs in them schools where they just about preach Jesus. I said, if anybody goes to a public school over in Mississippi, goes to hell for one of them schools, man, they wasn't listening. I mean, there were so many Christians over there. And so, it ain't like that everywhere. It ain't like that. You make the name of Jesus, you might lose your job. You got to learn how, like Mimi and them others, he bring the gospel in the side door, the back door, the top of the roof, any way in the world. But you try to walk in the front door with him, buddy, they're going to back you off right quick. Huh? Use your mind. I mean, hey, come on. Stay in the first grade if you want to. Go back to kindergarten. But hey, we live in real world today. We're living in a real world. But the greatest need, I think, the greatest mission field in America I know of is the public school. So if God's called you, honey, to be a school teacher and you're in the first grade or like Mimi is in the sixth grade and all, you pray to Jesus, you love Jesus, and then you say, "Hey, if I got to bootleg your gospel in here, Lord." That's the only kind of bootlegging I know it's any work good, isn't it? is getting Jesus in under the door, over the door, side door, windows, what have you. I mean, just tell somebody in some other way. That little Choctaw boy come down to the altar the other night, must have been about 11 or 12. He's not ready. And I didn't have some fast-talking soul winner that could get him saved 3 days before he was ever born the first time into this world. No, no. That boy went back. He's been about 20 minutes at the altar with an open Bible there with him, Brother Ronnie, and showed him how to be saved and all of that. That little fella comes up there, no mama, no daddy, just a grandmother, and she died on him. Got nobody but aunts and left her. And he come up there, and I said, hey, that may be God's preacher on the reservation one day. He may be the one just giving God time to do His work. Huh? That may be. He may be. I believe we'll see Him saved. But we're not going to tell Him He ain't. He is if He ain't. You don't need to do that. Hey, here's two things. Epaphroditus. I call him the committed man. Let me just he's one of my favorite. Hey, I looked up that word, Epaphroditus. You know what that means? Anybody know it? Besides, it ain't my knowledge, it's somebody's borrowed knowledge. Anybody know what Epaphroditus means? See, them Bible names had some meanings behind them. We call everybody Joe James, Ann, or Susie, or what? They don't mean nothing. That's just a name popular. We picked it out of whatever, you know. But back in those days, it said something. He's a Greek name. He's a Gentile, Brother Ernest. And so they give him that name, Epaphroditus. I don't know if it was Mama that was looking at that little fella. And you know what she said as she looked at him, or Daddy? Oh, he's so charming. Charming, that's the meaning of that word, Epaphroditus. Charming. Now, I don't think he was so necessarily charming by how he looked. But I think he became charming by what he was, what he became, Brother Ronnie, but by what God did in his heart, in his life. You said, preacher, what did he do? You're there in chapter 2. Read with me before we get to our last point. Read with me. Verse 25, yet I supposed it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered him on, I preached this message years ago in the church we was at the other day, and I counted down, and I ain't going to do that. I'm going to still read it, and I'm going to move to the last one with you. But I have 15 points. 15 points, Brother Ronnie, on Epaphroditus. That really made him charming, didn't it? It would have been something. Hey, brother, ain't no bees on that, is it?
I hope not.
Okay. Charming. Hey, have some fun when you come to church, amen. You can't go to the honky tonks if you're saved. Come to church and smile every now and then. Tell somebody you love them, that you're praying for them, huh? That you want to be encouraging to them, amen. I mean, hey, get over it. It won't hurt you that long, and it won't be that bad. It surely won't. Epaphroditus, oh charming boy, he is. Verse 26, for he longed after you all, was full of heaviness. Had to be from the south because said you all, didn't he, Brother Ronnie? Amen. And was full of heaviness because ye had heard that he had been sick. His church loved. He, by the way, had been sent there with Paul's love offering up there to the prison. And he was their messenger, boy. We just read that, didn't we? He was their fellow savior. Your messenger, Paul said. For indeed he was sick nigh to death, verse 27. But, and I love this, God had mercy on him. Who was you telling us about at the dinner table a while ago? That them girls are about ready to let her die? Brother Ford's wife? Their own kids? And God said, hey, if you prayed. That's a great testimony, isn't it, brother? I love that. A man could believe God, would believe God, that God would raise up his wife so she could continue. She's one of the sweetest ladies. Well, didn't she have a sweet spirit, compassion? Y'all may have knew her in a different way than I did, but I think she was. For indeed, he was sick nigh to death. But God had mercy on him, not on him only, but on me also, Paul said, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. There's a love relationship there, isn't it? Verse 28, I sent him therefore the more carefully that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. Now, he mentions what he's about to mention in 30, in verse 30, in a verse right before that we read a moment ago. Because for the work of Christ. Because for the work of Christ. He was nigh to death, not regarding his life to supply your lack of service toward me. One more person. I see here Paul is the crucial man. I see Timothy, Brother Owens, I see him as the caring man. I see Epaphroditus here, the committed man, committed so much that he was willing to die for the work of Christ. Man, that made him charming to Paul. That made him charming to those fellow church members. And then, closing here with you this morning, I told you I want to get right through right around 2:30 here. I see an unnamed host of men and women. And I put a slash in my Bible, and I wrote church. There's an unnamed host. No names mentioned. Men and women that I call the church. Spent a year in Vietnam dodging bullets. Said, Lord, I won't backslide no more. I don't want to get too far away from you. And I remember leaving. I remember being right up here at Myrtle the week before. I flew out to Vietnam. I remember getting with Brother Estes Perkle and him putting his arm around me and praying for me. I remember kneeling at his old-fashioned altar. My people come around me from my local church. And I remember them coming by and praying for me, telling me they would hold me up. I could feel many times when I'd see those green tracer rounds and I knew they wasn't American. We had orange, red, and those green was Vietnamese, Chinese arms chunked at us there. I remember praying and praying and praying. I said, now, Lord, if you'll get me back, I want to marry my sweetheart. Sure. I want to keep on serving. I want to be faithful and true to you. But that's all in your hands, Lord. You know if you're going to wind it up for us over here or if you've got a life, another life for us when you get through. And my heart was at my church. My heart was with my pastor. Set the tithe back and offering above the tithe. Didn't know anything about really mission giving. Just gave several dollars above my tithe. Every month had the, what they call an allotment back there. The government did all that for me. And what they didn't handle, she was handling. Bought a little 40 by 10 hut. They called it a mobile home. People that's educated call them trailers. And she had it all lined up when we got back. Man, they call that thing a two-bedroom. I call it a half a bedroom and a closet. That's a, you can imagine, but this is wider than 10 foot. This must be 12, 15 foot. I had 10 foot to live in, man. I couldn't even run around. The closet looked like a bathroom, and it wasn't finished. You know what I mean? It's something else. But hey, you say, preacher, what's God done? God's just been as more so committed to this old boy and this sweet thing here that we've ever been towards him, the committed man. And here's that unnamed host of men and women in the church. Let's read about them, and then we'll go to the house, okay? Chapter 4, look at it with me. Verses 15 through 20. Now ye Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, that means when it got there to them, right? When I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. That was the only one in the beginning. Huh? For even in Thessalonica, that's where Paul went to. After he stayed there 3 weeks, ye sent once and again into my necessities, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus. Remember, he was their messenger boy. The things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. And now, here's the promise. You say, preacher, what is in it for me if I am involved doing what the Holy Ghost tells me to do in mission work. And I believe that this is the only way you could apply this in this context. You said, preacher, what's for me in all of this? A promise. Look at it. Church, church, church. Verse 19. But my God, I think I heard a testimony from a sweet sister this morning along that line. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's the church. I just look back and I look at what I wrote down and God gave me. Men and women who make a great missionary church. The mission of the church, Miss Gibson, is missions. It's getting the gospel out. Sure, get saved or you'll never have a desire to do that. But once you get saved, hey, you won't want to keep that gospel to yourself. Huh? You want to share it. It's made to give away, not to charge somebody for. Paul knew that. That's why he was a tent maker, Brother Ron. Surely was. He had to get that message out. What about you? What about me? I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory. Hey, hey, that's what it's all about. It's about Him, not about you or me. It's about Him. Oh, that He could so consume us, so fill us and thrill us and excite us that we would never, 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 anywhere, everywhere, through missionaries, through prayer, through tracts, through witnessing, literature, you name it, huh? Be willing to keep that gospel flowing. Keep that gospel going. And if it flows in, God puts it in there. He does it so that you can let it flow out. Did you get a card? I picked up one, Brother Ron, because I want our people. And I'm looking for wisdom and know-how because they've been cheated out of missions and just now getting started in it. Brother, you were telling me that. I love that, man. What God's doing there in your place, huh? Get a card. You may have changed that thing before the years. We've had to do that, haven't we, Mama? A time or two we've had to change. And never went backwards, huh? Never gave less, huh? We went that way. What about it? May the Lord have it. Father, Lord, we love you. I pray, God, maybe somebody's undecided yet. Maybe they've got that card in their pocket. Lord, maybe they've got it in their purse. And Lord Jesus, they're still praying about it. Give them a definite answer and then help them to trust. And then, Lord, 1 Corinthians 16 said they just laid it aside weekly. Lord, it's laid aside there. So Paul said when he sent somebody by there to pick it up, there wouldn't be no gatherings. He wouldn't have to scold them or get anything. They just did it automatically. And that's His desire. But Lord, thank you that we can do that. Thank you that I've got a precious wife that don't argue with me about what we... Sometimes if she suggests, it's never less. It's always more. Somebody that's got a need. And Lord God, that's what it's all about. Help us to know that. And most of all, Lord, help us to do it. And we'll love you and praise you. Thank you. Father, Lord, it's been a long time. And since I preached at this dear church, and these people, the ones that were here so many years ago, still is just as sweet, still just as loving, still just as kind, still just as caring. And I pray, God, that you'll just continue to work. Thank you, Lord, for these young couples that I'm seeing here. Lord, I pray that they'll be so excited working with Brother Ron and his dear wife here that, Lord, we'll see a bunch more of them get saved. I know there's got to be a bunch of people here in and around Amory, Mississippi that need Jesus. And I pray, God, that these young folk will be aware and, God, that they'll be open. I'm thinking, Lord, about my treasurer right now, the Lord that takes care of our offerings and all and does so much more in our church. And I'm thinking about that little rent house and her son being a football coach and seeing his little kids there, even though he's in one of these other kind of churches. Lord, letting them kids come on Wednesday night to the children's program. And Lord God, what a thrill it is for me to see that little house, that they don't even want to hear nothing about Jesus. They'd rent it out to him, another coach. And Lord, I'm wanting to get by there and meet that boy. He's not married and nothing like that. And I know he's there by himself. Lord, I could work, you work all these things out. And God, you just deal with our hearts as much as we would care for people in these seven different continents, I understand, that we've got on this hemisphere, if I'm thinking it right. Lord God, with all of that, Lord, let there be just some individual, soul, a neighbor, a loved one, somebody that we know is not saved, has nothing for you. Help us to have everything in our hearts for them so that they can come to the Savior. And God, we'll praise you and thank you. Lord, I love to hear. Lord, I know you've used this church, and you are using it, and you will continue using it wonderfully. Just like Paul said in verse 6 there, he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it. Lord, help us not to get in the way. But help us, Lord, all of us, wherever you've called us and whatever you're doing in our lives, to let you keep on doing it, performing. God, that we can't, but you can, and you will. Help us to be faithful. Faithful, faithful. We'll thank you in Jesus' sweet name. Brother Ronnie.